What up, what up, what up? This is your boy Nathan J. Shaw Jr. back with the Fit for Life radio broadcast right here on 98.5 FM The Wire. We are so excited to be back again. We've had some incredible guests in the last few weeks, and this is no different. But I just want to let you guys know some of the things that are happening in the whereabouts. Obviously, this is sponsored or supported and presented by Frontline Sports Center, and is sponsored by Amerigroup, Simply Healthcare Plans. And we're excited to be here. We're excited to be on the radio, being able to share this platform with all of you guys. This is a community radio station, so we want you to call in. We have a very important topic today. It's called the state of education, where it's at, how can we be a support of it, what do we need to improve it, what things are happening that are incredible that we can be a part of. So we want you to call in 407-369-8555. Again, that's 407-369-8555. But there are some phenomenal things going on at Frontline Outreach Sports Center. We're blessed again to have the executive director of the Fit for Life radio broadcast and the executive director of the Sports Center at Frontline with us on the radio, Mr. Dwight Mitchell. How you feeling, Mr. Dwight?
I'm not sure yet. My voice is still messing up. The honey ain't working. So I got
that.
Look,
that's some good honey. It's some good honey, but I woke up a little frog in my throat too. But there's some amazing things going on at Frontline, and I think it's important for our amazing guests to hear. I think something that we're hopefully this week or next week we're going to be able to document that's happening at Frontline on film, on video, to really put out to the community. But yes, we're going to put it out here first. We have, I think probably for the first time in history, we have two African American swim teams that are practicing at the Frontline Outreach facilities in the swimming unit. And so for that in itself, that's incredible. But that's, if history, you find out who, though, I'm going to let you do the honors. Find out who these swim team individuals are is incredible. Go ahead.
So basically, I think what you're referring to, for the first time in history, we're going to have Evans and Jones High School practicing together at Frontline Outreach. Actually, it started already. So it's been phenomenal seeing them practice in the rain. They come out, it's about 20 or 30 of them come out every day from Monday through Friday. So we're trying to do something historical. Get rid of all of the barriers, the silly barriers of I'm from here, you're from there. We got too many issues to be worrying about where we're from. Right. We live in the same community. So for the first time, they're practicing together. They're doing a phenomenal job getting their strokes ready so they can compete on the high school level. I think it's amazing to see, and it's something that we should always celebrate and continue to support.
Yeah, these are two amazing individuals, and she's not able to get on the mic right this second, but we have Sarai in the building, a graduate from Evans High School. We always got to shout them out, and already in her field of communications. But just a story, my mother worked for Evans for several years, and my grandmother graduated from Jones High School, rich history. And that's always been a rivalry, but for two of our most historic, I would say, African-American schools, predominantly African-American schools, to be in one facility supporting each other. And I think there was a story about the coaches that
Okay, I was getting distracted. I was trying to get my voice right, too. So one of the coaches from Jones, actually, and Evans, decided to cross-pollinate and teach strokes that they were better at. So if a coach was better at breaststroke, other one's better at backstroke or something like that. So they said, I'll teach all the kids the stroke that I know the best. But what teams do that?
Right.
So
right.
That's historical within itself.
Amazing things happening. And we were there in the storming rain. And it just shows, because again, this is all a part of our education. It's all a part of educating parents, because there's so many scholarships being missed out because we only focus on two sports,
right,
football and basketball. And so when you think about, you know, swimming, when you think about golf, when you think about soccer, and we're going back to the 8-week summer camp that we had, but it was absolutely phenomenal to see them in the pouring rain.
Right.
Now you can't swim if it's lightning.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't lightning. Lightning, but it was lightning. Just pouring rain, right. And they're still out there.
They were going at it.
I mean, that,
yeah,
that
really, if you guys didn't study, you'll speak in a minute, but these guys are really practicing in the rain like nothing was happening. Now, it's weird because you think it's raining, you shouldn't swim, but you're already in water, so it's not a big deal. But
as long as they
were
lightning.
Right, exactly. But they really were practicing hard.
So that was a perfect example, because I got to bring it back, because I've been off my game for a minute. But that was a perfect example of Wakanda coming together.
Right.
We came together as unity. We came together. This, what was the Muwumbu or whatever tribe that didn't want to come and fight with the other tribe,
right,
but then at the end with the venture, they came together. So that's an example of it. We had to get that Wakanda in there right quick. But some other things going on the front line is that OCPS charter schools working on an opportunity for them to have some games,
exactly,
at Frontline Outreach in Jones High School. I think this week will be also starting practices at Frontline Outreach. And then one thing that I'm excited about, I got to get on the radio, is the Youth Empowerment Project After School Program is coming back September 10th. We are taking what we did in the summer and bringing it to an after school program on September 10th right at Frontline Outreach. So registration is now open. It's for middle school and high school students. We're going to be dealing with entrepreneurship, financial literacy. We're going to be dealing with emotional and personal development. We're going to be dealing with physical fitness. And so we want your student to be a part. It is an interview process because we want to make sure that the students that are there want to be there. So the parent and student has to be interviewed. But it's only $25 a week, and you can actually register today.
Only $25.
Listen, when I tell you that was ourselves before you. When I tell you that the input, that they're also going to learn vocational training and video production, graphic design, social media. It's going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal after school program. Shout out to the Fit for Life family. Shout out to the Youth Empowerment Project family. But again, we start September 10th. So you can register your child by going to www.youthep.org. Youthep.org. And you can register your student to be a part of all of the historic things.
And it fills up fast. You're going to have no need.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. We did in the summer, and we couldn't. I mean, it filled up so fast. So if you want your student to be a part, I would do it today. We're actually conducting interviews, I think today, actually, all week. We're conducting interviews. We did some last week, and we're excited about partnering with some great individuals that's in the studio today, but also, you know, just empowering a generation, empowering a community of young people. And so we want you to be a part of that. And then finally, before I bring these special guests, Frontline Outreach is in a historic moment at the present time, and we want the community to know that Frontline, in its capacity, in its desire to impact community, has really been doing the work for about 50 years.
Right.
And it's gone through several transitions in that time, but being able to impact a community for the length of that time is something to be saluted. And so I give hats off to all of the wonderful founders. We want to give a special hats off to Bishop Alan T.D. Wiggins and the great effort that is going on, not only in Frontline Outreach, but right across the facility, the New Horizons Apartments, but part of the board in regards to Lift Orlando, and some of the things that are happening in the other apartment complex on Orange Avenue, and so Pandana Apartment. So there's some amazing things happening right there in that community, and we want to just continue to be a part of that. So we're excited, as you can tell. Again, we have some special guests in the building. I say that every week, but it's so strange.
Is this the year of the woman, though?
Listen.
We had some powerful women in our studio the last couple of months, man.
We a little bit estrogen heavy in the studio today, but we love it because we've had some really, really powerful examples. It's a great point of women, and we're bringing back Wakanda.
That's
I mean, that was the life of the movie, was the strength of so many amazing women. And again, want to give a huge big shout out to Sarai, because I think as we bring these guests on, Sarai's just seeing her future and right before her eyes. But we have some special guests in the building, and some great friends in the building. And I want to just, without further ado, do their proper introduction. First, we have Miss Shan Denise Badu, and she is, and I think we also on Facebook Live, so we want to thank our Facebook Live family for joining us. We want to give a shout out to that. You can listen on Facebook Live. You can download the mobile app. Of course, you can listen to us on the radio. But Shan is running for the Orange County School Board District 7, and I just want to read this off about what her focus will be. Shan will focus on school safety, student achievement, retaining highly qualified teachers, and community involvement. She's a wife, a mother, graduated of University of Florida and Liberty University, a veteran educator with over a decade of experience that spans over several elementary and middle schools within Orange County. She holds a bachelor's degree in criminology and law from the University of Florida, as well as a master's degree in theological studies from Liberty University. So qualified for the position. We want to welcome to the Fit for Life Radio for the first time, but not the last, Ms. Shan Denise Badu.
Hey, how y'all doing out there?
Listen, I have to say that Miss Shan and I have her and her husband have a rich history.
Yes.
Because I was pulling it up the other day, Shan, that we did, I think back, Dwight, in 2012 or 13, there was this parenting workshop that we were doing, and we had a concert connected to it. Okay. And the highlight, one of the highlights of that concert, I don't know if we putting it out on the airways, but Miss Shan can sing.
Uh-oh. Oh yeah.
Uh-oh. She can sing.
Right. And so I hear a duet.
So one of the highlights, I didn't say Miss Shan can sing. So highlights of the concert was Shan and her song. And I'm telling you, I don't even know if we, but the kids were singing that song, I mean, throughout the whole year.
What was your song?
It was was, I don't remember the actual title of the song now, but I was going through my records in Youth Empowerment Project, and I still have that video on YouTube. And so but they were loving it, and it was unique. It was different for its time. So even back then, Shannon, her husband, was creating change and doing things out of the box. Husband has an amazing advertisement company. So I mean, going back from then, you were working with young people, and now all of a sudden now you're going for the Orange County School Board. So it's so exciting to see. Yes. And also in the building we have none other than Miss Tanika Bango Cooper.
Right now.
Who is actually the UCF and Valencia Downtown Community Engagement Director. And so excited to have her in the building. I'm going to do her justice too. Raised in Orlando, has more than 10 years of experience in community and government service. She was a chief staff for the city of Orlando, and also represents the Paramore and as an aide for the state of Florida. She is again going to be the UCF Community Engagement and Valencia Community Engagement Director, and her goal is to build relationships within community leaders, surrounding neighborhoods, and plan events for the downtown campus, and coordinate the Community Council Engagement Council for the Paramore community. So we're excited to have Ms. Tanika Bango Cooper in the building. Thanks so much for being on Fit for Life.
Good morning. I'm excited about the things that are coming to the city of Orlando and the downtown community. I'm excited about what it means to our students and our community, and I'm excited to let you all know about it.
Absolutely. Listen, I just can't. I keep going with Wakanda. It's just keep going back to Wakanda. You know, this is power in numbers, and I think it's important because we've had segment talking about women empowerment. We've had segment talking about, you know, jobs. You know, the wages, but I think it's just important that we understand that excellence is excellence.
Yes.
There is no men excellence or woman excellence. It's just excellence. So we're seeing a representation of that. Shan, this is your first time, I believe, running from, I'm doing the same thing I told y'all not to, running for a public office.
Yes.
And, you know, how has it been so far? What has that journey been like?
It's been an incredible journey. I had to learn a lot real fast about the political atmosphere, and I got a chance to meet a lot of great people. It takes a lot of courage to step out of your normal comfort zone to get out there in front of people, meet people, shake hands. But it's been an incredible journey. It's allowed me to expand my platform as a teacher to really get out into the community and make a difference. And just expand my platform from just being in the classroom.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be because you're kind of, you know, it takes a lot of effort, like you said, a lot of boldness to be able to step out in that way, because you're basically exposing your entire family, your whole environment.
Yes.
What was it about you that drove you to say, this is the time, this is when I need to have my voice heard?
Well, this has been something that I've wanted to do for a while. The opportunity does not come often because the school board seats do not have term limits.
Wow.
And so when I filed to run 2020, but the candidate who was in this position, not the candidate, but the Christine Moore, she resigned, is running for a different position. And that basically opened the door. So I just, you know, jumped right in and took the opportunity. I got in the race late, but let me tell you, we gained ground all throughout the community. We got a lot of people behind me, and they're supporting, they're praying for me, and they're pushing me.
Yeah.
And so this is an incredible journey. I'm excited about it.
And you talk about, you know, and again, I think it's important to note that this is a show that we talk about sports, we talk about health and wellness, we talk about entrepreneurship, but we are unashamed, unapologetic, and unafraid to talk about our faith. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a faith-based radio station, but we are passionate about that because we know that leads and draws all, and I know that's a big part of your life. Again, this was a big shift from the classroom to a public office, but you've been doing the work of mentoring for quite some time.
Yes.
Ever since I've known you.
Yes.
And it goes kind of dating back to New Destiny, you know, back
yes.
in the day.
Yes.
You know, I think a lot of origins can go back to that if we're honest with ourselves. But the desire, even with dance and arts, to be able to be an example to those
yes.
That were younger than you. What was it in you that really wanted to be that example, to really make a difference in the lives of young people?
Well, you definitely want to leave a stamp and a legacy in the earth, and you want people to know you for doing something positive, and so that you can duplicate yourself and help raise up the generation of young people that say, hey, I can run for office too.
Right.
Hey, I can be a teacher too. Hey, I can make an impact in my community as well. So with that, and my passion for education and seeing young people just strive and be successful, you know, we've had several conversations about this, several meetings about what you're doing, and to see it manifest now and to see all the great things that you're doing, I'm amazed and I'm glad to be a part of this. This is the shift that's happening, and we need this. We need to give our kids a firm foundation and give them, you know, hope and resources and tools. And that's what your program, that's what your company is doing with YEP. And I'm happy to be a part of it.
You know, you mentioned the fact that we need this. First of all, we need to see ourselves in successful and positions of influence.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to be in a mindset of impacting the community. And so I'm so passionate and excited to see, you know, what it says in UCF Downtown is a partnership with Valencia that will bring 7,700 students to live, learn, and work in the downtown Orlando area, creating a game-changing campus in the heart of the great city, scheduled to open in the fall of 2019. And so you had a transition as well, Ms. Cooper, in regards to, you know, being in that public office arena to now going into more, you know, public office and community engagement as well, but being more hands-on with the people. So what how has that transition been with you from that time?
Yeah, so it's really exciting. So it's kind of a continuance of the work that I've always been doing, except it allows me to be able to come out. So I've always worked in community engagement, involvement from a political side, but from the back, the scenes, so behind the scenes. So basically what this does is it's just in a different role.
Right.
It's the same work, the same people, just in a different role, and it allows me to be a little bit more hands-on with the people directly. So it's exciting. I'm really excited for the campus, and I'm excited for the Paramore downtown community, because what it does is, with the UCF Valencia partnership, we're creating an educational ecosystem.
Wow.
So with the building of OCPS ACE, Rosen Preschool, so it also creates just a from cradle to career opportunities for those residents. And it's really exciting to see what's coming down.
You know, there's a lot that have tried to do that. I've heard that term, cradle to career, for so long. And it's truly a part of our passion at Frontline Outreach, as well as, you know, we want to, one of the things that we expanded our program this year from 5 to 8 to 3:30 to 8, because students needed something to do after school. And so I really feel like it's important for us to support that, and the what the UCF and Valencia is doing is so powerful. But let's break that down, because a lot of times people hear titles and they don't really understand what that means.
That's right.
And so when it comes to the community engagement director for UCF and Valencia, as it relates to, I know Paramore community is a big focus, but I think it's going to impact so many others that will infiltrate that school. What does that really mean for the common parent, the common student, for someone like Sarai? What does that mean to her?
So basically, UCF and Valencia has committed to being a part of the community that they've chosen to reside in. So they've chosen to be able to put a footprint down in the area and say, hey, we're committed to the people and the residents that are there that will be a part. So we want to be good neighbors in a sense, and include the community on a lot of the things that Valencia and UCF has decided to do. So I serve as a liaison between the campus or the college and the community, and a part of that is engaging the community via a Paramore Community Engagement Council. So with that work is that we put together a council that will make up community. So residents, the faith-based community, nonprofits in the area, to be able to sit down and work together to say, hey, what does the future for you looks like? And not necessarily UCF and Valencia coming in and saying, hey, this is what you need to do, or this is what, you know, these are the opportunities you need to take advantage of. It's, hey, what are you looking to do to improve your lives and the lives of your family? because the educational piece or the children that reside in the area have the opportunity, there's a great focus on that. We have the Rosen Preschool. Mm. So for 2 to 4 year olds, they'll be able to attend the Rosen Preschool for free. OCPS covers K-8. Those students transition into Jones. From Jones, those students can graduate and come on to Valencia or UCF, whichever they choose. However, there are parents that are left to be able to that will need some assistance in taking advantage of opportunities or creating a better lifestyle, improving the lifestyle, so they're able to reside in those same areas that they've been living in for years, but also be able to create a better lifestyle for them. And what that looks like is whatever they choose. So it's not us coming in saying this is what you need, but whatever it looks like for them, whatever opportunities you know they want to seek, or whatever goals that they want to achieve, we just want to be a support mechanism.
You know, that's powerful, because a lot of times, and we've seen, you know, whether they want to call it gentrification or however they want to relate it, we've seen where big construction projects have come in and pushed people out in times past, or has not considered the needs of the community. It's all about the real estate and not about the individuals that are in the community. We've seen that happen time and time again. But for this to be different, I know that even started with the Camping World Stadium. There was a consistent commitment to making sure that the communities benefited from that structure, that it wasn't just about building and money, but they wanted to empower community. And it seems like the same thing is happening here. So that's very, very powerful. And I just keep reflecting, you know, cradle to career is happening at Frontline, because there's Head Start at Frontline, and then there's opportunities for elementary. There's opportunities in partnership with Legends Academy.
Early Head Start.
Early Head Start.
Then Head Start.
And then Head Start. And there's about, right now, there's about 100 plus.
Yeah, we have 77 in a Head Start and about 40 in Early Head Start every day. So we have about over 100 kids there every day that part of that seamless educational pipeline that we were trying to create as
and
well.
And then we have a partnership with Legends Academy, which is, you know, helping elementary through middle. And then, of course, we talked about what's happening with Jones and Evans and all of those individuals. So it's just powerful to see that actually happening. But Shan, again, I want to ask the same question, because a lot of people don't understand, because this is the voting season. First of all, let me ask both of you, does everyone's vote matter? I'll ask that to you.
Yes,
because that's a question. It's like, that's a question that people have, and you know, I might have to pull us a ride in a minute.
Well, that's a great question, because a lot of people feel it doesn't count, doesn't matter, especially in the midterm elections. A lot of people don't come out,
right?
Well, because they should come out. Your vote does count. Your voice does matter, and especially with your local officials. Definitely. I know in the presidential election, it can swing a little bit differently with, you know, somebody can win the popular vote and still not win. But these local and primary elections, it is what it is. Every single vote counts. So I encourage you to get out and make sure that you make your voice be heard, and you do your research on each of the candidates, and you vote.
So I have two questions for you, Shan, but I want to, because Sarai actually challenged me one of our last shows, and I want to make sure that I get that challenge. But school board member, District 7, for the common person, for the common parent, for the common student, what does that mean for them? How does that impact them? Sometimes people don't vote for things because they don't think it matters to them. And so can you share with the audience, because our community, what does school board member mean?
Well, it's your representation for the specific district. So all the schools in District 7.
What are those schools?
Yes, and District 7 encompasses Apopka, Ocoee, Winter Garden, Zellwood, and a small portion of Orlando. And all of those schools in that district, I'm responsible for making sure that they have absolutely everything they need. The parents, we are the board, so if they have any concerns, questions, they'll come to me, all the people in that specific district. I'm the one that's helping with our board meetings. I'll do reports and let them know how the schools are doing. If we are voting on anything, such as school safety, there's a law that said, you know, they wanted the teachers to carry guns. If we say no, then we say no. And I honestly am against that, teachers carrying guns. So we vote on different things. We make sure that the budget is right. And we are the ones, the advocates for you. If you have any questions, parents, students, or any issues arrive, we're the ones who will take care of those issues.
And specifically, when we talk about, you know, what it means to the common person and why each vote is so important, because the people that stayed home and didn't vote is the reason kind of why we're in the presidential, the situation where, that we're in now. But specifically, when we talk about, you know, education and our board members, it's important when you talk about rebuilding of schools, when we talk about repairs, when we talk about specifically if you're having issues with your school or your school is an older campus, for example, even with OCPS, ACE, with the new ACE school, we talk about building of new campuses and technology and different things like that. Those are directly related and impactful to students in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And that's the responsibility of your school board member. So it matters, and it's highly important when we talk about local elections, because it's a direct impact. It's, you know, for presidential or federal elections, it kind of has to trickle down. But when we talk about local elections and we have someone here that is bidding for a seat on the school board, which is education, which is so important, it's directly impactful for those schools that she represents. So if you're talking about an area, I guess Apopka and
Ocoee,
Winter Garden, and some of those are newer school districts, but some of them, Apopka has some older schools as well. So when we talk about getting those students access to new technology, new buildings, you know, safer buildings where they're not issues, those are directly impacted through the school boards. So it matters significantly when we talk about a direct impact. You know, the president decisions kind of trickle down and we might not necessarily feel it, but when we talk about local elections, when you talk about board members and council members, those are direct impact. Those, you know, when your garbage is picked up and, you know, recycling, and it changes from one day to 2 days, and, you know, you're going to call your local officials. Right. So
what's and for let people know that they can.
You can, because
that's often not understood, that I can pick up the phone and call
absolutely
the person that I voted. Listen, that just hit me. I call it my sprite on the left side. You know, the reason why we in the position we is because, how about I say, some jokers that did not vote. I mean, you have to vote. If you don't vote, I always say it, if you don't place your vote, then you have no right to talk about any of the issues or complain.
But you don't have a right, but they still do.
They still do.
So it is our responsibility to hold people accountable. Yeah. Yes. And we want to hold our elected officials accountable, but we also want to hold our neighbors, our friends. You know, we have to be responsible. Sometimes we assume, and I did this, I assume that I work in the political arena, and I assume that certain people are registered because I work alongside them. So if I know it's important, they know it's important. Wow. But guess what? I slipped. I had a young man that I work with on a daily basis, and I just so happened to text him yesterday about a candidate that I was supporting. And then I said, wait a minute. I said, are you a registered voter? Because we had not discussed it.
Wow.
And guess what?
He wasn't. Now,
if
you don't mind disclosing, not the name, but how old was this?
He's 18.
So this goes to what I was talking about. Because here's the thing. I'm putting it out
when he turned, back. he had a birthday, and I did not ask him.
So we have the issue that became, we have guests come on all the time, but the question is, how do we engage the young adult community in this conversation? And I think this is so befitting because we have a school board member and someone who's focusing on UCF, but a lot of times we're talking all of this talk that is not necessarily over their heads, but it's not something that seems interest to them. This is boring talk to the average young adult. And so how do we engage? Because we know the success of those like Obama and things like that, they were able to engage the young adult audience, even going back, Bernie Sanders had this whole craze on the burn. And however we like it, who number 45 got in office. And so how do we bring all of this talk that we're talking about to a reality for this next generation, where they can really be a part of the movement and not just be talked about? Because a lot of times I'm passionate about young people having a voice, and a lot of times we dictate the young people, but we don't give them the opportunity to participate.
Let me just say this. The skepticism is valid. But if it didn't matter, if your vote didn't matter, young people, they wouldn't try so hard to suppress it. Mm-hmm. Think about all the tactics over the years that they do to try to suppress your vote, to try to discourage you from voting. Mm-hmm. If it didn't matter, didn't count, they would let you just
don't vote. If our young adults came out in groves and voted. Yes. I want this to be heard across the airwaves. Some of them probably in school not hearing this right now. But if they, I always say they're not our future, they are now. If they actually came out in groves, because you're talking about that 18 to 26, 27 age group that sometimes are not engaged, they could change the complexity of our city, of our country, just by coming out to vote, even more so than us. And so how do you engage that audience?
Sometimes it's just like, for me, my Sprite on the right hand side was just a simple ask.
What y'all talking about?
A simple Sprite. He said,
I can't say spirit because
okay, spirit. Okay, 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 okay. Well, my help.
There it is. There it is.
Sometimes it's just a simple ask,
right?
And including them in on the conversation. You know, bringing them to the table and not dictating the voice, but saying, "Hey, listen, what are some things that you're interested in?" And just including them in on the conversation and not necessarily telling them or dictating, you know, what it should look like, but just including them in on conversations and not letting it slip. So for me, just in this immediate moment, it was like, you know what? I didn't take the opportunity to, I assumed. Mm. And when you assume.
Yeah, things happen.
Yeah.
Shan, what would you say? Because you've been in the front line working directly with the demographic that we know so well.
Yeah.
What is it going to take?
A lot of, like, when I was growing up, voting really consisted of, you know, my parents there and my whole entire family. They're talking about different subjects. They're debating back and forth. And as a child, you listen to it and you develop the voting patterns of your family members. And if your family is truly engaged in the political affairs and voting, then eventually you follow along that path. What is happening and the cycle that is happening, a lot of parents are not engaged as they should be in the demographics that I have taught in, are not engaged voters. And they don't have the necessarily have the knowledge needed they may not have the knowledge they need to research the candidates or find out why it's important, or they may not feel that it's important to vote, and the child develops that same mentality. That's what I'm trying to say. That same attitude towards voting. And we definitely need to have that conversation. Ask those questions. Involve them in the conversation. Ask them questions about what they think about this or what they think about that. And when we involve them in the conversation, then they'll have a voice and we can encourage them to vote. I think that in our schools, the history classes or in the civics classes, this is something that they teach about. They talk about this in school, and I think that they should continue to do that and encourage students to vote. With the last election, I think that a lot of the young people, I've even heard in my elementary school classes, they know more about what's going on, you know, with Trump and this, and they're a little woke now, you know. They're starting to see different things. So I think the climate will change if we continue to encourage students to be involved and let their voices be heard, because I've seen a lot of young people out on Sunday, Souls to the Polls, when we went down to the Supervisor of Election office, it was a lot of young people out there. They were involved in different campaigns and they are rallying as well. So if we keep that up, the climate will change as it relates to voting.
Well, I want to say, so I want to keep it real. I think, you know, somebody in the studio kind of knows what I'm talking about. Some politicians, they recognize, I'm not saying, you know, in your position, they recognize that certain people don't vote. Certain people do not vote. So they cater to the people who will vote. That demographic that will vote, be the older population or gender, or it could be race.
Race, yeah.
And if they don't vote, they're not going to cater to them before, maybe a little bit during the election. But after that, they're going to cater to their base that's going to keep them a job. So if young people don't engage, right, and don't ask, don't be a part, and they don't vote, watch somebody, cage somebody who's not going to keep me in the job for the next 5, 10 years.
And I knew. I'm so happy. I knew this would come up. So Sarai is in the building. And one of the things says sometimes being exposed and knowledge is not necessarily the issue. It's the lack of interest in the candidate that's the problem. And so I think that's powerful.
That is
because
powerful.
The question, I hear that perspective and I totally agree. But what I will say is, for a demographic that has not been engaged, I would not expect that demographic to become engaged. I would expect the demographic that is engaged to come and engage. Am I making sense?
Yes. No.
What I'm saying is,
yeah, I didn't get that.
What I'm saying is, the young, it's not up for the young people to come and engage right. in the process if they're not already engaged, because there's nothing to incentivize right. them to do that.
Okay.
It's up for the candidate to go reach the young people. It's just like a youth minister. I can't expect the young kids just to come to the back because we have in children's church. I got to make sure that I'm available to them and that I'm meeting their needs and that I'm actually relatable. And yeah. I think that's the issue with some young people, is that these candidates don't seem relatable. And it's talking so much over, not necessarily their heads because they're woke, but they're not catering it to them. So when you look at consumerism, most brands are directly targeting that 16 to 24 year old market. Most music is for that 16 to 24 year old market, because they know that they, even though they don't have the money, they are the ones that are trying to buy and everything, buy clothes, buy brands, buy music, and so they specifically cater to them. I remember the show that I used to love, 106 and Park. That was not for 35 year olds. That was for 16 to 24 year olds, even younger, and they catered to them, and so they drew to it so greatly. But with our political process, there's really nothing that is truly catering to young people.
Don't understand the direct impact of the office.
But why is that? Whose fault is that?
It could be the school system needs to talk about it more, but they don't talk about the midterm elections at all. All they know is the governor, the mayor, or the president.
I want to get some ride in this little
well
bit.
It also goes back to Dwight's comment about catering to a base. So if you're not engaged enough to be concerned to put someone that relates to your issues in office, then it's hard to expect for someone to kind of listen to your issues right. because you didn't help
right.
me.
So we are relating.
That's not what I.
If you listen on Facebook Live, you have a good ball right now yeah. because we have, again, we're talking to Shan Denise Badu, running for Orange County School Board District 7. We're talking to Tanika Bango Cooper, who is the Community Engagement Director for UCF and Valencia Campus, and we have the Executive Director Dwight Mitchell. I just want you to know who's in the room for the show, myself, and then we have Sarai, who just graduated from Evans. So we're talking about this demographic. Mm-hmm, so yes, I want to hear from her. What do you think about this topic?
My opinion on this topic is just basically going back to what I wrote on the paper. It's not that we don't have knowledge or we're not educated on voting. It's the issue is that the people that are running for office feel like the 18 to 24 year olds are not going to go out to vote, because they already have the conception in their head that we're not going to go out to vote. They don't cater to our audience. Mm-hmm. Even to refer back to Bernie Sanders, when he was running for office, he had a catchy slogan, "Burn, baby, burn," right? So it's like things like that, like it kind of, even if you weren't paying attention, mm-hmm. catchy slogans like that raise like, oh my God, like I don't really know what's going on, but let me look a little bit into it. So it goes back to like what they're pouring out into like our demographics. We're not really feeling it. So it's like people don't, if we're not feeling this, like our generation is not really gonna stay in tune with it. It's not that we're not woke, but at the same time, if you already have an idea that 18 to 26 year olds are not gonna go out to vote, so let me not focus on them, so then it becomes like, okay, then I'm really not gonna vote because you're not catering to what we want you guys to talk about.
Well, that's the main group that a lot of people were focusing on. Well, this mm-hmm. this primary election, mm-hmm. because we were trying to get new voters mm-hmm. out, we're trying to get more people registered to vote and educate them about the candidates. During my canvas walks throughout the community, I'm knocking on doors, I'm talking to voters, and that was one of the main things. Are you registered to vote? Do you know who's in the upcoming election? Like, we're educating the people, and I'm walking door to door in the hot sun doing 200 houses every time I'm out. I feel like you need to know that it's your civic responsibility to get out and vote, because these people who are elected, they will directly affect and impact you. And so, I mean, every candidate may not be, you know, catchy and may not have a message, but if you dig deeper and you do your research, and you got to choose one. You got to yeah. choose one.
Well, I think that the thing is, what we're seeing is you could choose none. Mm-hmm. And right. so in choosing none,
you get what you get.
Right. But I think it's very powerful, because a lot of people aren't doing what you just talked about, which actually putting the pavement and talking to the youth. They're talking to another base, as Mr. Dwight talked about. So to applaud you for actually engaging with the youth, and then actually having a platform to engage youth with the UCF downtown campus. But I think it's very powerful because I always say, do you want to change your audience? Look at your leadership.
But Nathan, let's keep it real.
If you want to change your audience, you look at your leadership. And I don't know why I'm going there, because we're going to have a pastor's round table soon. Exactly. So we're just going to talk about it. But, you know, we have churches call themselves international. But there is no international flavor in their leadership. If you want to see that demographic or that congregation change, then your leadership has to make that person coming in has to mirror that. So when we talk about even this particular demographic, when it comes to the political spectrum, where in leadership do they find relatability? Is there anybody in the campaign that's actually advocating specifically for young people? Is there anybody in the construction that's actually advocating for young people that are actually focused strictly on them? Because I think that's what happened. And then Obama plagued onto the social media spectrum. Mm-hmm. He really got into the world where they are. So we're doing antiquated methods, but then not appealing to. So you fuming. Go ahead.
Let's be all the way real about
it. Let's talk about it.
Even adults. When they go to the polls, they look at all those names on the list, and they say, she said, that looked like a black name. Oh, I've seen that name before.
Uh-oh.
They don't know half of the people on that ballot. I'm not even talking about young people. I'm talking about old people who vote all the time. There's very few names, they will know who they're voting for. And you may be checking a name that sound black, that ain't black, and then you get somebody else in office. So it's you can't just vote based on race. You vote based on their policy or their platform, but a lot of times it could be a money issue where they don't have the budget to get out there and do a lot of campaigning. So the issue is people not being educated voters. We got to find a way to become more educated about what's going on, which is part of problem.
I want to ask you guys, whose responsibility? Because at the end of the day, here's my issue is that if we don't engage this generation. And they not only become 18, but now they become 21, but now they become 24, but now they become 27. Now we're going to have a majority that is not engaged. So whose responsibility is that?
So I think that us woke folk or engaged folk are responsible for bringing along and talking to and alerting people of issues. The UCF and Valencia downtown has put together a Paramore Community Engagement Council, and the council is made up of more than 50% are residents. However, we have students. So we have students, we have young people, young adults, different neighborhoods, inside of neighborhoods. So it's important for those voices to be at the table and to take back what happens at the table and disperse it out to their communities and their streets and their neighbors. So I think our responsibility is, when we know people look at certain people for leadership and expertise. So if we're engaged in a political process or in certain issues, then our neighbors and our family and our friends depend on us to be able to disseminate that information. So I think that we have to be more engaged in engaging others and bringing others to that aren't necessarily, they don't have a seat at the table, they're working, you know, everybody can't come to the table, but the people at the table have a responsibility to be able to disseminate that information and talk to people and, you know, let them know, hey, look, I was in a meeting and we discussed, you know, school board district 7, I spoke with a young lady and, you know, she seemed to be, you know, whatever. Our responsibility is to be able to share the knowledge that we have. We're put in positions of leadership and, you know, responsibility for a reason. And woe is us for not being able to take that information out and share it and engage folks.
I think what's powerful, and it's starting to happen now, even as we're talking this conversation, about who's sitting here. Because for so long, there are people who may be a little bit out of touch what the youth need. And so to be able to have someone, a representative who is has been working on the front line and Ms. Shannon, have someone who has been on the front line and Ms. Kamika is amazing. But I want to shift a little bit, because one of the things that you have on your list of things you want to focus on, actually the very first thing, which I thought was so powerful, was school safety. And we just obviously had a dramatic experience in Jacksonville at the Landing, where there were individuals that were killed because of a shooting while playing a Madden tournament game, and there's so many conflicting stories around it. I don't know fully all the details, so I don't want to speak negative, but it says, we just experienced a mass shooting in Jacksonville at the Landing Shopping Strip during a Madden game challenge. The person they identified, they list their names, I'm not going to do that on air, but a 24-year-old from Baltimore was believed to have fired shots during an event at the Chicago Pizza Restaurant Bar in Jacksonville Landing. And they said it was possibly anger toward not winning a video game or something of that nature. Don't know all of the details now, but I saw that happened this weekend. School shootings has been an issue mm-hmm. in our country, mm-hmm. and it hasn't just been outside the country.
Right.
We've actually experienced mass shootings here in Orlando. And so why was that such an important platform for you to talk about and have actually listed first? And I just did random research. I wasn't doing this ahead of time. But that was your first thing to focus on. Why was that so important to you?
Badoo.
Yes, Badoo.
I make sure you brand it. Badoo.
Yes. that was one of the main platforms that I thought was very important, because no parent should feel the fear of, you know, having their kids not come home. No parents should ever have to experience that. Orange County Public Schools, I am challenging us to take a proactive approach and not be reactive in any manner, fashion, or form. We want to secure the perimeters of our school and make sure that there's a one-way entry point and that the teachers' badges actually work. They actually implemented. They've given all the school administrators, the principal, the deans, they have wands, metal detector wands, and they are doing random security checks to increase security measures. We want to reassure the parents this coming school year, well, this school year, that we are taking action to make sure that the kids are safe. Now, when it comes to Now, I want the schools to be safe from the inside out. When I say from the inside out, safety as it relates to the students and bullying and discipline issues, I want to make sure that we're not only safe from, you know, outside intruders, but, you know, teaching the kids to be kind and teaching the kids mental stamina. You know, this young man who got, I don't know, allegedly was upset about losing a video game, went and shot up the place, allegedly, if that's what you're saying. We need to build up more mental stamina and provide programs for our students who have mental and emotional issues that they can seek counseling, and we can have the counselors on board to make sure that they're not frustrated or overwhelmed with the workload, especially in middle school, because I teach sixth grade language arts, and the kids, they come from elementary school, they're used to walking in line. Middle school is a big transition. There's a lot of things going on with them hormonally, emotionally. They have to get adjusted to seven different teachers, and so there's a lot going on, and the new game Fortnite is all I'm hearing about. And so they are into this reality world to where they're shooting up things and things, and if they get mad, they want to throw the controller. They don't have the control, the self-control, the mental stamina that they need, and we need to make sure that we have those resources in the school. That's what I say, protect from the inside out, not just necessarily the outside of, protecting them from the schools. I mean, protecting them from intruders, but protecting them from, you know, being rude and mean to each other. We have restorative justice class meetings that we've implemented to try to steer the kids to talk about kindness and talking about how to deal with conflict and different things, conflict resolution. And we want to make sure that these things are implemented in the schools so we can protect the schools from the inside out.
I'm happy to hear that you understand that, because a lot of people who run don't understand inside of the school.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of people on the board.
We need to sit here nodding our heads, because we deal with kids on a day-to-day basis, and everything you just said is exactly right.
And what we experienced at the 8-week summer boot camp, did an 8-week summer boot camp, and we saw kids that were burying so many things. I always have to bring this up, and I think it's important for any person running or anything, any person in engagements to know. We had an exercise called Mirror Mirror, where they had to write down 15 things great about themselves on a piece of paper. They got to about 6 or 7, and we started to see, you know, playing around. We started to see, you know, games. We started to see people disengage. And what was really happening is they couldn't find that 8th thing great about them.
Oh, wow.
They couldn't see. And so all of and once we dug it, because I made them dig, you know, this was a boot camp, so we made them dig a little bit. And once we did that, we were hearing stories of young people who all they could think about was the negative. All they could think about of what they maybe heard in their environment or whatever the case may be. And so it was an emotional experience because they were carrying so much. But a lot of times people don't ask the question, like you say, why, or ask those questions to our young young adults or young people because we just think that they're okay. Mom and dad got financial issues, but the kids are okay, and nobody's engaging them.
One person said somebody has never said anything good about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a 13-year-old.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, had never heard anything good about them. And, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, you know, there's exaggerations, but that could be very well true in our community. True, right? So
even when we talk about just going back to just the Paramore downtown footprint. So a part of the council's job is to focus on five areas, and that's education, safety, health, jobs, and employment and affordable housing. So even when we talk about a holistic approach to a community and to the education system and making sure that, number one, we're sending healthy students into the classrooms to engage around other students, but also making sure that they're coming from healthy homes. And a part of that is looking at, as it relates to health and mental health, and addressing how to be able to handle, you know, issues that come up. I read a study and talked with Dr. Shannon from Orange County Health Department, and there's a study about a toxic stress syndrome. And they did a survey of, you know, a certain amount of students or a population, and 70% had been affected by death, violence, had experienced some type of traumatic experience as a child. And just growing up and experiencing certain things and not dealing with it. So if brushing it under the rug, you know, and it happens, you know, because guess what? Parents don't necessarily know how to deal with it. They may have experienced something in their life, and it just, you know, you got to kind of keep it moving. The bills still got to be paid. You know, rent is due, lights are. So you just kind of, you know, keep it moving. But even in looking at just addressing those five areas and looking at ways to be able to attack issues within those areas and deal with them. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, there's a partnership with Orange Blossom Health. You have Orange Blossom Health at the ACE, on campus at ACE, at OCPS ACE, and dealing with, you know, just health issues and making sure that we're taking a holistic, and I kind of use quotation marks when I say holistic approach, because in essence, that's what you want to do. You want to be able to create an environment where, you know, you're sending kids to healthy, you're sending healthy kids to school, but you're also, they're coming from healthy environments. And so that's a part of the focus, that there's so many issues that we have to attack, but just being able to break it down into areas.
I think in our community, the young ladies are very powerful, black young women. And I think it's important, the more you can tell your story, the better it's going to help somebody else. Because self-image is a big thing. A lot of kids don't see themselves as anything positive. So the more you can tell, what did you go through as a young lady, young girl, to get to the point where you guys are, you're so accomplished, you're well poised, you look professional. We have to tell that story. I'm sure you have, may have had some, maybe you didn't, but something was different about your journey as opposed to the other.
I'm so sorry.
It's no different.
We have five minutes. Wow. I'm telling you, Soraya is my witness. Every single show, we say we don't have enough time. But I want to give, first of all, we want to just say that we, you know, lost some people over this week, this weekend, that were very influential to our country. Aretha Franklin, who, Queen of Soul, and so many different artists that are affecting our young people now, looked up to her. And Senator John McCain passed as well. And I think it's always proper to recognize someone who has served our country. And so we just want to really send blessings out to those families. But I want to give the last few moments to you all to just be able to share with the audience from your perspective. We only have, again, about three more minutes now, but I'm going to start with you, Ms. Tanika. You are now entering the role of community engagement. If you could just share with the listening audience what they can expect from you and what you're excited about in the weeks to come.
I'm excited about the opportunity that the residents of Central Florida will have to experience with an urban campus that's accessible to them in the downtown area. I'm excited about the ecosystem that is being created. I'm excited about the resources being poured into a community to be set up for success. Additionally, I want to make a plug because I work hand in hand with Jones High School. And And Principal Kirby has a call for 191 mentors. She has 191 students that are not on course to graduate. And so she's calling on alumni. She's calling on anyone. And I know some people are turned off by the word mentor. But in essence, we're looking for adults. It doesn't, you don't have to, you know, there's no criteria for it. You know, you have to, no criteria for it to be able to partner with a student, to be able to text and kind of keep them on track and whatnot. So that will be my plug to be able to reach out to Principal Kirby at Jones High School to partner with a student to be able to get them across the graduation graduation line.
Phenomenal, phenomenal. And you, this is your community engagement director for the UCF Valencia campus, Ms. Danica Bango Cooper. So we're so excited to have you, Ms. Shan. You're Shan Denise Badu. Want to make sure the listening audience hears that, Shan Denise Badu. We're just at voting. Got tomorrow.
Yes, is voting. Voting day.
So share with the audience what you're excited about with this petition. What they can expect from you.
Well, I'm truly excited for the experience, and I'm excited for the change and the shift that's happening in District 7. I'm excited that we're making sure that school safety is something that's implemented. Student achievement, we want to decrease the number of assessments. Our students are over-assessed. We don't want that test to define them and to give them a low self-esteem. All students, we want to make sure that we tap into your talents and your skills, and we motivate you to do what you do best and not define you by a test. I also want to help our teachers. Our teachers, we are the incubators, the producers of all profession. If you're a doctor, a lawyer, you had to sit in a teacher's classroom. We want to make sure that our teachers are appreciated and have the resources that they need and the salary increase that we need, because we are at the bottom of the wages when it comes to wages. And then community involvement, as Ms. Tanika mentioned, mentorship. We want to make sure that we flood our schools with mentors that can be role models to influence our students to stay track with their grades and stay track with their college career or technical, because I don't believe that college is for everybody. Whatever you decide to do, do it well. And that's what you can expect from me, to save the arts programs, the athletics, and bring more tech programs as well back into education. So remember, tomorrow, vote Shan Denise Badu for school board District 7.
Say it again.
Shan Denise Badu.
One more time.
Shan Denise Badu.
Hey. Listen, we have been on the radio with Shan Denise Badu and Ms. Tanika Bango Cooper. And we are so excited. So get out and vote. Your vote does matter.
Yes.
And you have candidates that are engaging in our young adult community, in our community in general. And I want to end with what I heard Shan say. Shan Denise Badu say, we want to inspire students to find their best and not be defined by even in the office. She's still rhyming. She's still rhyming in office. Find students by their best and not by a test. So we want to thank them for being on the radio. Obviously, big ups to Dwight Mitchell and Sarai in the building. So we will be back on the Fit for Life radio broadcast Monday at 10 a.m. Please make sure you tell everyone you know. Tell your grandmama, tell your grandpapa, tell